There's just something about that setting, that situation, where the bride does not want to look bedraggled or demented or anything along those lines. She wants to look her best. And so it is with the church. Praise God. And so we endorse the teaching of holiness. We practice the principles of godliness, and all of that being very important. And, of course, we give honor to our ladies for carrying that outward display even more so than the men. Amen. And so our prayers are with you and for you, and we thank God for you. Praise God. And now, Brother Levi is going to share holiness from a man's perspective. And, of course, the Bible says, lift up holy hands. You going to use that verse? Lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Praise God. And so we want him to come and share God's word tonight. God bless you, Brother Levi.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I just want to make sure I have enough time on the microphone. I forgot to check that before service, but 12 hours is more than enough. Man, I don't have quite enough notes to cover all that time. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. But we're going to jump here into the scriptures. Now, I'm not nearly as intelligent sounding as my wife, but we do have quite a bunch of scriptures to go through. We'll start in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. If you want to stand with me, we will read this together. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You may be seated. That's the first scripture that came to mind when, you know, we're discussing the topic of holiness. And I'm thankful to Pastor for allowing us to teach here. And we're going to get into a few things tonight. And if I seem to be off on a tangent, just please and bear with me. Keep on listening. And eventually I'll either make a point on it or forget about it entirely, which is seems to be my habit. But one of the two. But this passage of Scripture simply states that if we aren't holy, we aren't going to see the Lord. It's very straightforward, and holiness is simply loving God and putting Him first in everything and being obedient to Him in everything. And we would include through everything. And that is perhaps an oversimplification, but that's what it really boils down to. It's how can we best please the Lord? And I like to ask questions, and I'm sure that my mother always got tired of hearing, but why? Why? I always want to know the why. But I thought about this, and I was looking at this scripture, one of the first questions that came to my mind was, do I want to see the Lord? And now the answer that some of you may be relieved to hear is, yes, yes, I do want to see the Lord. But more than that, I just want to be with Him in heaven for eternity. And what does it require? How do we get there? You know, I'm thankful for this roadmap that we have in the Word of God. So what is holiness? Pastor's going to be teaching and preaching to us about holiness and the fruits of the Spirit and fruit over the next coming months, and we're looking forward to that, and we're not necessarily going to get into all of what holiness and standards are tonight. But going into this topic, we first need to understand that God is holy. We are called to holiness because God is holy. His holiness is pure and complete, without question or even ability to replicate without His power, without Him giving us the ability to be holy. Not a lot of people seem to try to regulate or reduce holiness to a set of rules and regulations, which seems to be an impossible and insurmountable task for mere mortals to hold. Such a high standard. Now, I think that's my quota for large words for the evening, so we're going to just jump more into more scripture. Exodus chapter 15, verses 11 through 13. I'm going to be hopping from scripture to scripture here. So if you'll just bear with me, if you like the full list, get together with me afterwards. I'd be happy to share them with you. Exodus chapter 15, verses 11 through 13 says, "Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, and doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, and the earth swallowed them." Verse 13, "Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation." So in this passage of scripture, we can see that God is holy, that God has done many amazing works, worthy of praise for all that he has done, all that he is, and that he deals judgment, and he redeems, and he also has mercy. So many times people tend to think that God is one-dimensional. You know, he's a God of judgment, of wrath. That he's trying to send everyone to this awful place called hell. That's not the case. Not the case at all. He guides, he keeps, and he delivers us. Isaiah chapter 44, verse 6 says, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and besides me, there is no God." You know, we had a teacher in Bible school, you know, he's a little bit snarky sometimes. But it's like he said, you know, it's like God is just looking around in heaven and saying, "Nope, no one else here. It's just me. There's no one else nearly as powerful or even can come close. No other God." Last part of that verse says, "I am the first and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." No God with a capital G, no God with a little g. Isaiah 44, verse 8 says, "Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have I not told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God, and I know not any." Verse 9, "They that make a graven image are all of them vanity. Their delectable things shall not profit, and they are their own witnesses. They see not, nor know, that they might be ashamed." They neither see nor know. You know, you can go through a park, and a lot of parks will have a statue somewhere, but that statue can't see, it can't hear, it can't speak. It is inanimate. It is an object, and that is all. So no other God, big or little g, no other God that we can make, no God that could do anything, and no God, no other God, period. So since he is God alone, 1 Chronicles 16, verse 29 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory, do unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." We are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And we're going to go through quite a few scriptures that talk about the beauty of holiness. Holiness is worship to God. It is adoration. It is something amazing. Psalm 29, verse 2 says, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Psalm 30, verse 4, "Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." Those who call themselves child of God, we are to sing to the Lord, to give thanks at the remembrance of all that he's done, of his holiness, of who he is, remembering who he is. Psalm 47, verse 8, "God reigneth over the heathen, God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness." So there is majesty in holiness. Psalm 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. You know, I really wonder what the temple of Solomon was really like. You know, we think about this temple that Solomon built to the Lord Most High, to the Almighty God. And how amazing it was, all the gold, all the jewels, everything that was prepared, the craftsmanship that went into it. But really, even as amazing as it was, it cannot contain even a portion of the presence of God. It cannot contain the slightest little bit of who God really is, of all of his glory. Psalm 60, verse 6, God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice and I will defy Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Once I have sworn by my holiness, Psalm 89, verse 35. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. So God speaks in holiness. Psalm 93, verse 5. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever. So there is holiness in God's house. Now we're jumping through quite a bit of scripture here very quickly. But we're seeing a pattern, of course. Holiness. Psalms 96, verse 9. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. So God considers holiness beautiful and precious. What's interesting to me is that he not only holds it in such high regard, but he defends it. Malachi chapter 2, verse 11. Judah hath dealt treacherously, and an abomination is committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. For Judah hath profaned the holiness of the Lord, which he loved, and hath married the daughter of a strange god. Wait a minute. I thought we read earlier that there is no other god. Unless they made one. Unless they allow themselves to be taken away. So God protects and is jealous of holiness. So what are we to do? Now, John the Baptist's father, Zacharias, said this in Luke chapter 1, verses 74 and 75, that he would grant unto us that we, being delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness, verse 75, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. This is God's desire, not just for his children Israel, for us, his church, here today. In holiness and righteousness before him, all the days of our life. See, holiness is not living in fear of messing up. Holiness begins with a new birth experience, which we know is repentance, being baptized in Jesus' name, and filled with the Holy Ghost. But it doesn't end there. You know, I find it interesting. What is that? Last part, Holy Ghost. Holy. Holy. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Verse 16, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. That's pretty amazing. That God in his perfectness would desire us to be with him. That he would call us to be holy. God calls us to be holy, and how does this happen? See, I don't think God would call or ask us to do something that is impossible. It's not, we'll get into it here in a moment, but I was listening to a sermon by Brother Bernard, and he preached this years ago, and as he was going through it, I was like, oh, that's good, that's good. Wait a minute, it's already in my notes. Okay, good, we're on the right track here. But he tells us that holiness is not, you know, for some ultra super spiritual Christian. It is for every single one of us that God calls us to holiness, that God calls us to be closer to him. God calls us to be a part of him, of who he is. He calls us to himself. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So they had this new birth experience, but they continued on. See, Pastor has taught us for years that there is more that God has for us. And I love that. And we have that promise of more here in Sterling. Part of that more is walking in holiness and understanding why we do it and why it is so important. Why is it important? Why does God call us to it? Acts chapter 3, verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto this people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why do you look so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we have made this man to walk?" Now they were going to the temple at the hour of prayer. There was this man by the roadside. He needed something. So, of course, Peter seeing it, he just said, you know, "Well, I don't have any money, but I do have something else. I know the healer." But as everyone was marveling if this man had been healed, Peter was very careful to tell them who had really done the work. He says, "It's not by my power, it's not by my holiness, by my righteousness." And he pointed out whose power it was. See, when we're walking in holiness, when we're walking according to the ways of God, he gives to us power to walk in his ways. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life." We have a goal. Not just to please God here in this life, but in the end, everlasting life. That's a huge promise. That's a promise that he is well able to deliver on. That is a promise that goes beyond our ability, you know, because we can't even tell what's going to happen 5 minutes from now. But yet, God has seen the end from the beginning. See, sin binds us and puts us in bondage. Our decision to live a holy lifestyle is our decision. And it doesn't restrict us to simply a set of rules. But it empowers us to live pleasing to God. By making that decision and walking after God's ways and not our own, in other words, being obedient to God, he takes our old self or old man that we'll see in Scripture in just a moment, and he gives us righteousness or right living instead. That's quite the trade. You know, if we were going to trade a vehicle in or something, you know, we might get a vehicle of somewhat equal or slightly greater use to us. So out of this trade, what does God get? He gives us eternal life. Holiness is how we walk, talk, think, act, and operate. Holiness is not just what we look like or act like just on the outside. It's a result of our belief. But holiness is being Christ-like, separation from sin and the world, and dedication to God. And I heard that from, I pretty much quoted that from a sermon Brother Bernard preached a few years ago. You can find that on YouTube, entitled "What is Holiness?" by David K. Bernard. You know, it isn't plagiarism if it's given proper credit. So there we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." It says here, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. So there's more than just an outward appearance. There's a heart inside that God desires to rule and reign in. It's a process. That those two words put together, perfecting holiness. How can we perfect holiness? Holiness God is complete, perfecting holiness. In Bible school, we heard a lot, it is a process. We heard the phrase, don't despise the process. Don't despise the process. I was like, what does that mean? You know? We aren't made perfect just yet. This is a process. But as soon as we submit to God and his process, it's kind of like he says, okay, I can work with this. If you're submitted to me, if you're walking according to my ways, it's like he covers us with his own holiness. That's pretty amazing to me. How does that happen? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 says that ye put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lusts. So we're putting things aside. That's part of repentance. Verse 23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, verse 24, after which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So we're putting off the old and we're taking on the new that God gives us. It's completely setting something else aside and receiving from God. So we're to put off the old man that we talked about earlier and put on this new man, this new creature that God gives us. You know, I like that. When you're buried in baptism, it's literally being buried, rising up, washed clean. This includes new ways of thinking, new habits, new joy, and new peace. I'm so thankful for the joy and the peace that God gives. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. It's part of repentance. Turning away from something, turning to God. Why would we repent or turn away from something that we would willingly go back to? No, we were to walk before the Lord as new creatures, putting away the old things, old lifestyles, even old friendships that would try to hurt our walk with God. And that's hard. There's not too many people understand why we talk differently, why we're not, every other word is not a curse word. That's in a lot of workplaces that I've been, it's, you know, why, what's going on with you? You know, it's, you're just a little bit weird. And yes, I am a little bit weird. Gladly sometimes. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Righteousness and true holiness. Not fake, not false. True. Again, new before God, walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh. And we don't necessarily have time to go into it tonight, but I would encourage you to read or reread Romans chapter 8. It talks about living after the flesh versus living after the Spirit. And it's amazing what we can receive from the Word of God if we keep if we keep reading it day by day. And it's like, well, I've read this before. You know, well, I didn't receive quite what I received today from it. It's something new. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, we will read. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and verse 15 says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So it's not a spirit of bondage, living in fear, wondering if we're going to mess up. But you've received the spirit of adoption, where he calls us his own. Calls us his own. Whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We long to see the Lord. And we know that it's not always easy living for God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. For verily, for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. The apostles didn't live an easy life. John was the only one that died an old man. That's pretty hard. These people that loved God and they put him above all else, that we hear so much about in the New Testament, none of them really died in pretty ways. It's all very rough. But yet they counted it joy. They might gain heaven. They might gain something. Partakers of his holiness. We do go through some things that are hard and unpleasant. It's not easy to crucify the flesh, and from a man's perspective, there can be a lot of pride involved. A lot of, well, I think I'm right. If you're working on a piece of equipment and you're just like, well, I know this is how it's supposed to work, and I keep doing it this certain way and it doesn't work. It's those chainsaws can be hard to start, right, Brother Merle? But I'm right because of X, Y, and Z, or Z if you're from Canada. But we can proclaim that we're right according to what we desire. But what we desire doesn't really always matter. It doesn't always make us right. One of the last verses that we're going to read here tonight, Luke chapter 9, verse 23. This is a verse of scripture that's very important to me. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is a scripture that God would not let me get away from for years. It seemed like everywhere I went, multiple states, multiple churches, wherever I was, this verse was being preached. This verse was being taught. And Luke is the only one that says, take up his cross daily. Everyone says take up their cross, yes. But that daily part is the challenge. See, so many times people can say, well, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Well, that was good that you did that once, but that's not all there is to it. And Pastor spoke about this the other day. But this must be a daily occurrence. To give ourselves wholly to God and follow after him and choosing to live holy, because it is a daily choice. And, you know, so many times we think, well, it's hard to do that. But the good news is you only have to do it today. And tomorrow becomes today. So one day at a time. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 again. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I was reading a commentary about Hebrews chapter 13, Chuck Smith study guides, and it had a quote that I'd like to share. And it simply says, we do not need a new truth. The sound doctrine of God's word is enough. Our standing with Christ is based upon his grace and not upon outward observances such as eating or abstaining from meat. And I thought, you know, that is very appropriate oftentimes for our walk with God. We don't need something other than the Word of God. We don't need an opinion. We don't need, you know, man's words. We need God. We need his words. We need to be making sure that we are being obedient to his word. Not something else, not another idea, not our idea. Because quite frankly, our ideas will get us in a lot of trouble a lot of times. But if we're being obedient to him, if we're sacrificing our will for his will, that's when he receives us. That's when he calls us holy. And if you'll please stand with me. See, our best actions cannot merit us holiness. Isaiah 64, verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." If we allow our flesh to just lead us and guide us everywhere we would go, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But when we seek after Him, after His ways, after His Spirit, see, it is by God and His grace and His holiness that He gives us so freely. When we're obedient to Him. So as a man, what is holiness to me? It's more than a lifestyle. It's more than a challenge. And it's more than a call to action. Because that's really what it is a call to action. A call to be closer to the Lord. Holiness is a call to come closer to the Almighty God. And holiness is an invitation to be with my God. To be who He has called me to be. That must be personal for each and every one of us. To walk in the power that He has made available to those that love Him and desire His ways. His desires, His thoughts. There is a power that God invites us to see and to be a part of if we would just come to Him in full surrender. Each and every day. Pastor, if you would come.
Thank the Lord. There's the reality of recognizing who God is, what God is, and then letting our lives be changed so that there would be the alignment, there would be the placement of where we need to be in the plan of God. So Brother Levi is pointing out, yes, there's mercy, yes, there's grace, yes, there's compassion, all of those aspects of God, but make sure you're aligning with His holiness, amen, partakers of His holiness, praise God. Now, the Pharisees had a very external definition of holiness. It was all outward and, unfortunately, show. And the Lord condemned their hypocrisy. As it may at one point have started on the inside, but somehow it morphed, it changed to just external measurements. We don't want to do that. That, of course, the external is important. But what's on the inside is going to be displayed more so or eventually. Excuse me. And so what Brother Levi has shared is just grab a hold of the Word. Amen. You don't need anything else. I remember 28 years ago walking back and forth right here praying and asking God to just give me some time here, Lord. I'm just a month here, not even a month, just a few weeks that we've been here, Lord, and I could feel a need in the Spirit and the Word of God that I needed to teach some things, I needed to preach some things, and I was worried, I was concerned. I didn't want to jump the gun or, you know, any of those phrases to get ahead of the Spirit of God. So, Lord, I need some time. And I felt the Lord speak to me and ask a question. And the question that came to my mind and reverberated in my heart was, what are you going to do? You going to die for them on the cross? He said, I've already done that. If they don't do it for me, they're sure not going to do it for you. So I said, okay, God, I'll preach what you want me to preach. I'll teach what you want me to teach. And it was internal and external. It was both. It was holiness and a relationship with God, as Brother Levi stated, it's just understanding who He is and desiring I want you, God. I want you in my life. I want to be in your will. I want to serve you. Praise God. And too often that is done with qualifications. Too often that is stated with, but I want, I prefer. No, there's a surrender. Praise God. So let's come. Let's come to the front here for just a few minutes. Thank you, Brother Levi. Well done. Well said. Many, many verses of Scripture that he could have added to the many that he shared. Amen. But, oh God, help us to understand how important this is. In a world that has focused only on grace, a world that is only concerning the Lord, His grace is abundant, and so doesn't matter how I live, doesn't matter my choices, doesn't matter my appearance or my actions or my life. God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, and certainly He's all of those things. Thank God that He is, or we wouldn't be here. Amen. But oh, I'm thankful we can choose. Lord, I'm going to get rid of some things. I'm going to leave some stuff behind. Amen. As Brother Levi was reading that passage from Ephesians, where put off the old man, put on the new man. I saw a little farther down in the chapter, it said, put away. Put away. Some things we got to put away. Amen. Inside and outside. It's because we want to please the Lord. Thank God. Let's just ask the Lord to help us to understand and to obey and to walk with Him in a holy lifestyle. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Savior, I thank you, Lord, for calling us out of darkness and into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the light that brings changes in our lives, that illuminates situations and dangers that we can avoid, that shows us what we need to move towards, what we need to pursue and choose. Oh, God, let that light continue to shine and bless us, Lord. God, that you would lead us on paths of holiness for your name's sake, paths of righteousness, Lord, that this world is not walking and chooses to ignore, chooses to go another way. But, oh, Lord, I want to walk in those paths of righteousness for your name's sake. God, lead me beside the still waters. Lead me in green pastures. Oh, Jesus, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord, that I could be pleasing to you in all ways, in all things, at all times. Oh, Savior, I need you. I need you. Help me, Lord, when I make mistakes. Help me, Lord, when I fail. Help me when I fall, Lord, that I could rise up again. Oh, God, to do your will, Lord, to walk with you in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit that needs to be a great influence in my life, a greater influence, the greatest influence. Oh, Savior, I need you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Ah, we need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We want you, Lord God. We want you, Lord, to influence our lives, to change our lives. Oh, God, to empower our lives. Jesus said we could walk with you. Jesus said we could live for you.